At least two big stories as we conclude this hour, thinking about what happened yesterday. The get out the vote effort by the Obama campaign clearly was one reason for the victory, but who were the voters that were got out there? That's the other story, and it's a story of changing demographics in the United States. Were the Democrats able to exploit those changing demographics in some fundamentally new way that possibly sets a template for the 21st century? Here to talk about it is John Sides, professor of political science at George Washington University, the co-author of The Gamble, Choice and Chance in the 2012 presidential election. John, did the Obama team do just that, exploit and recognize these changing demographics in the U.S. to deliver a victory?
I think that the campaign recognized not only the changing demographics, but just exactly which demographics they needed. And I think part of what the Obama campaign was able to do was to use, you know, big data sets to locate these voters and then use a bunch of tricks that have been developed by political scientists and other social scientists to find ways to get these people mobilized. In other words, they were able to take a situation in which there wasn't as much natural enthusiasm for the president's candidacy, but still find those voters who were supportive of him and, you know, enough to give him a winning margin.
So you say tricks, but in a sense, the Obama campaign traded a kind of loyalty to the president for a difficult argument given the economy.
It was a harder argument for the president this year. It's always harder in some sense to be an incumbent because at some point in your first term, you're going to make people mad. And it's harder for Obama because the economic recovery has proceeded so slowly that I think, you know, his election was anything but assured. And it was harder to feel as much enthusiasm as people did in 2008. The tricks that he was using, though, weren't so much tricks about messaging on the economy or anything. It was really very simple things like encouraging people to make a plan about how they were going to get to the polls and vote. It turns out that when you make a plan, you're more likely to do something. That also involved, I think, communicating to people about how not only they were going to vote, but also people around them, whether they were going to vote or not. And so it's this task of making more public people's decision to vote in an election or not. This is a somewhat controversial tactic, as you can imagine, because people don't like, you know, their decision to vote or not vote becoming public information, even though it is. But these are the kinds of things that the experiments in and around voter turnout have showed us can actually get more people to the polls.
So if we add up all of these communities of very public voters that the Obama campaign was able to organize, what demographic realities did they see perhaps better than the Republicans this time around?
The challenge for the Republican Party is that its base is largely a white Christian base. And that's a shrinking segment of the population, not only because of the growing ethnic diversity of the country, but also because there is a growing group of people that's not affiliated with a religion. Doesn't mean they don't believe in God, but it just means that, you know, you can't categorize them as cleanly as mainline Protestant, evangelical Protestant, Catholic, and things like that. I don't think the Republican Party is facing, you know, an immediate demographic apocalypse or anything like that. But I think the lesson that the party seems to be learning right now, and I take this from, you know, the Wall Street Journal editorial page this morning, is that, you know, they've got to find ways to appeal to new demographics.
Is there any component of the Republican base that is expanding now, like these components of this new ostensibly Democratic base of ethnic minorities and young, particularly young people, that seems to be expanding?
You know, my pause there, I think, is indicative of that. I think you'd have to drill down pretty far to find a group that would actually be able to meet that definition. One of the challenges for the party is that the white working class is shrinking as a group. Whites are shrinking. There are fewer people who identify with a religious faith of some kind. In a long range kind of planning, I think the Republican Party wants to figure out how can we increase our appeal among these demographic groups. You know, they just don't want to be losing Hispanics, you know, 70% to 30%. They need to be able to find ways to make enough inroads that brings a group like Hispanics closer to parity.
And if your base is shrinking, then you're not a national party anymore. You're basically on a track to become something of a fringe party.
You know, taken to the extreme, that's the risk. I don't see that as particularly likely. I think what oftentimes tends to happen is that new issues arise that allows a party that was previously struggling to capitalize. And, you know, we can't overestimate as well just the simple fact that oftentimes party control of the White House, even Congress, switches alongside economic trends. And a poor economy in 2016 might be enough for the Democrats to lose. You know, there's not enough safeguard that demography provides for one party or the other that these kinds of shifts, simply based on the economy, can't happen.
But if your ground game is plugged into these demographic shifts, then it's a kind of 21st century insurance policy that we haven't seen before. It's a real takeaway from this election.
Well, the interesting question is going to be is whether the Republican Party is going to learn from the Democrats' ground game strategy and be able to employ these same techniques to go out there and identify Republican-leaning voters who didn't show up in this election or in previous elections and find ways to get them. There's nothing about these techniques that come out of data analytics and social science. There's nothing about them that can't be used by both parties. For a variety of reasons, Democrats have just taken this to a different level. And the Republicans who, I think, in 2002, 2004, had something of an advantage in terms of the ground game, you know, I think they've lost that lead. And at this point, they're playing catch up.
John Sides, Associate Professor of Political Science at George Washington University. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
We speak about demographics with a professor, but you know we're talking about you. You're the shifting demographics. We want your story. In the next 4 years in your community, I want my country to what? You can fill in that blank. Interesting demographics in Lake County, Ohio. Kim Lobey tells us it's learning lessons time.
In the next 4 years, I hope that my country can inspire the Republican Party to refocus their platform to reach out to more of the American voters. I think I can be honest in saying I'm disappointed about the election of Barack Obama tonight, but you know what? I think the Republican Party needs to reach out to women, young voters, and create a strong enough platform so that people can see things more their way.
And what about our good friend A.J. Dellinger up in Madison, Wisconsin?
In the next 4 years, I'd like to see my country improve in its discourse. I find that if I disagree with a person's position on an issue, I can still respect how they arrived at their belief, and that respect makes it a lot easier to actually talk about things. And I don't see a lot of those conversations going on.
We'll end this hour with a conversation as we began it with Todd Zwillick out in Chicago. So Todd, first day of the next 4 years for the Obama administration, there will be some new faces, but some of the issues are the same.
John, there's lots of celebration in Obama land, and right that there should be. However, what's interesting, I think, about this is that Barack Obama is facing some immediate issues, and they start today. There will be press conferences on Capitol Hill, on the fiscal cliff, debt, expiring tax cuts. And what does that mean for Barack Obama to me? It means he starts his second term in much the same way he started his first. A limited, assertive agenda, because he has to attend to needs of circumstance. Just like the economy tanked when he was elected, we still have debt, we have the fiscal cliff. Barack Obama must use part of his political capital to deal with that, and he will, starting today.
And the markets are falling off a cliff in concert with precisely that analysis. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much. We always want to hear from you. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE, post to our site, thetakeaway.org. Tomorrow, the shifting leadership in the nation of China. James Fallows will be with us from The Atlantic. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.